culturii. An encounter with people of different cultures. Hello, welcome back to the program Culturi, and today we've got a guest from India, an Indian sister who comes from Kerala, Sister Lillian Thomas, and who is also a student of theology at this university. And the first thing I would like to ask you, sister, for many people in the world, and so I assume so also for many Maltese, they think of India as one country. In fact, politically, India is one country. But is in India only one culture?
India is one country, but it has many cultures. It is divided into 28 states. Every state has its own culture, its own language, and so every state is ruled by its own government, and we have one central government that is in Delhi. So we can say India is a subcontinent because of this many different languages and different cultures. So, and we call ourselves unity in diversity because of these different cultures.
Did this distinction, is this distinction between different states prior to British colonial occupation, I mean, or as a result of it?
It's as a result of it. Before the Britishers came, India was divided into kingdoms. It was ruled by kings. So east, north, south, west, it was like that.
And of course, even when the British came, Pakistan was part of India.
It was.
So, I mean, that was the partition between Pakistan and India, was something, relatively speaking, late after independence or just before independence. And basically, Pakistan is Muslim in religion.
Religion, but
while India is Hindu, mainly.
Hinduism.
Was this distinction, was this the reason, the main reason for the distinction for the partition of India and Pakistan? Was it a religious reason, or
mainly
mineral resources, for example, or
mainly yes, because of religious, because Muslims were, we also have 11% of the population Muslims in India.
In India, yes. 11%, which given the population of India, it's not a small number. I mean, no, it's more than 10%.
It's more than a billion, yeah.
Let's speak, so, not about India, but about the state of Kerala. Otherwise we wouldn't cope, because I assume that each of these states has also its language.
Yes.
Are these languages written or simply oral languages?
Oral languages we have about 455. But written official languages, we have about 21.
21 official 21 languages.
21 official different script.
Are they recognized by the constitution?
It is, yes. Official.
Officially.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the root is from Sanskrit.
Yes.
Then Tamil. That is for Dravidian. Kerala South is actually of Dravidian culture. I don't know if you know anything about the Dravidians and Aryans. Aryans came from West, actually, in fact, from German.
Yes.
And so we are Dravidian, originally typical Indians. And this Dravidian language is actually Tamil, from Tamil. And I understand Tamil is the oldest language in the world. Mm-hmm. From there, my language, which is called Malayalam.
Yeah.
Came up, and everything we do, all the literature, everything is in Malayalam. But when Britishers came, they introduced us
to
English.
At school, children, do they learn only English and the state language, or more than one Indian language?
Also, we take Hindi, the Indian language, as our secondary language.
Mm-hmm.
And English, third language, I should say.
Really?
Yes.
Ah. So Hindi is the second language?
Second language. We have first our mother tongue, then Hindi, and third.
Now, again, speaking about Kerala, which is a big state.
It is.
Does it have tribes or tribal chiefs still in existence, which
no.
substituted the kings?
No. With the Christianity, St. Thomas the Apostle landed in 52 AD in Kerala. With Christianity, all this distinction slowly it no more existed. But we have Hindus and different castes, four castes, Christianity started from Brahmin origin.
From Brahmin?
Brahmin, the high class Brahmins.
Really?
Yes. And so the caste still exists.
Which are illegal now, is it?
Illegal and, but it
but
is.
But in practice they exist.
There is.
They are being condemned by the Constitution, you are not mistaken.
But
they are. So basically when we come to marriage, is there still very strong pressure for people to marry within the same caste?
Yes, there is still. It will take time, according to me,
to change this thing.
Yes.
Now, if I were to ask you, in Kerala, what are the main values which people treasure?
Hospitality, respect for elders. We are very open to receive guests, even at home. In families, when someone comes, you can stay hungry, but you will take care of the other guest who has come. So I should say hospitality is one of the main values. Then respect.
And respect. We know that Hindus and Buddhists, at least by Western standards, we look at them as being very calm,
yes.
very reflexive people. In a sense, even meditative in whatever they do.
Yeah.
Is this a universal trait of the continent? That is, do Christians behave in this way? Mm. Are Christians in India calmer than in the West? You've lived in the West. You've been living in Malta for a long time. I don't know whether you've been to Rome or anything
living there.
I mean. So you know, basically, that we are rushing after one another. Not in Malta because it's too small. In other countries because business is, you either rush or you miss business. So in India, it's not a question of religion that people tend to look, if I am allowed to describe them, calmer.
It's because there is a joke, but I think it applies a lot to us. Asians are meditators called. And so it's an inward journey, actually. People take time rather than outward. Even our religion, Hindu religion, has contributed a lot for our own calmness and that peaceful nature loving. It's because more reflective to one's inward self we are rather than out. According to how I see my experience of living in Malta and living with the Maltese, Kenyans and Koreans. Koreans are also like us, more reflective people, meditative people. It is the quality of religion, actually, the impact of religion. I see.
Yes, but do Christians give the same importance to, say, meditation and reflexive prayer?
No.
As the Hindus or not?
No. It's not. But again, Christianity is more words. I mean, in our rituals and traditions allow us to be more vocal prayers than Hindus' meditative method. But the country, culture, and that background has contributed us to be more inward people. That's how I see.
In the families, where does the power, if I might put the question in this way, where does the power lie? Does it lie with the father or with the mother?
It does with the father. And in Kerala, mostly they call it mother power because mother is in the house, taking care of the house. Not today. In olden time, it was all the time mother
yes.
controlling.
So, but ultimately, say, who would have decision? If a girl or a boy wants to marry, who would have the last words? Is it the father or the mother in
it's
case
the,
of marrying?
It's the father.
is the father. That is the tradition that the father has.
Yes.
I mean, so in a sense, it is a patriarchal society like several countries in the West. What about, I mean, as you've said, India is a very religious country.
It is.
What are the main festivities, including, I mean, we know Christian festivities in Malta, so perhaps we needn't stress them unless you celebrate one of them, which in your opinion is more important than you celebrate it with a higher pomp than we do in the West. But besides that, which are the main feasts, which religious feasts, which exist in India, in Hindu, and so on?
Deepavali, I don't know if you have heard about. Deepavali means the festival of light. It is associated with Christmas. From this feast, Christians have taken Christmas as Christ as the light. This Deepavali, there is 10 days of preparation, preparing oneself with lights. Now, the ultimate meaning is that victory over evil.
Victory?
Victory, victory.
Victory over evil.
Evil, the light, festival of light.
So basically, there's very much similarity in this sense to the Christianity. Because,
yes.
I mean, we all believe that Christ has had the ultimate
light.
Victory over evil. Here we are speaking here of comparative religion. We have two different religions. Very old religions, which agree that ultimately there is victory over evil. We are during the time of Lent now, and as you know, you're a Christian like myself. Christians normally look at Lent as time of penance and in preparation to Easter. Does penance have a place in Hindu spirituality?
Yes, a very big place.
Including fasting?
Fasting and abstinence. And they severely fast. They do a lot of penance.
But in any specific period of the year or throughout the year?
Once a week, suppose.
Once a week. And which is the day of the week? Or they can choose it, or is it fixed by our...
They can choose.
For example, we go to church on Sunday. And normally when we do, according to canon law for us Christians, Friday remains a day of penance. Although bishops can give permission to people to change the penance from eating meat to eat something else. But Friday, few Christians know it, unfortunately, nowadays, that Friday, throughout the year, is a day of penance for Christians. And all Lent is a month of penance. It's very unfortunate that we forgot our Christian culture, because this doctrine is part of our culture. Can they do this fasting on a day of their choice, or is there a specific period or any natural association when they do the fasting?
Usually wives fast for their husband on Thursdays.
On Thursday.
To be faithful and to have a good family life and all that. Wives choose to be fasting on Thursday. I do not know the reason why.
And husbands?
Husbands, I don't know if they fast. Like wives. Wives, they do thorough fasting. I mean, only one meal they eat.
Only one meal. But do you eat after sunset?
It's not necessarily sunset. Either you take lunch or dinner. Other times they
eat. But you're not allowed to eat after sunset because, you know, in the Ramadan...
That's Muslims.
The Muslims can eat after sunset. In Hindu, can they eat after sunset or not?
Usually we eat lunch.
You eat lunch after sunset. But that would be the only meal for the day.
Yes, then drinks.
Yes, drinks. I was asking you about the main feasts of Hindu.
Yeah.
Can you mention any big feasts?
We have holy feast. I don't know. That is, again, spring when in March.
You mentioned the
Festival of Light. There are many feasts. One of them is very fascinating for the Westerners, is Holi. festival of color to bring, to mark the end of winter and to start spring. They put color all over, and it's symbolic from nature to give life to. That's the symbolic meaning. Then there is another festival, we call it Rakhi. The brother has to tie a sacred thread on sister's hand to show the bond between brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And if you do not have brother and sister, you can also choose your neighbor.
Is this done within the precincts of the family, or is it a village feast, so to say?
It is a village feast.
It is a village feast.
It's recognized. It's a holiday, and it's recognized.
It's a holiday also.
I told you, respect is one of the values, to show the respect, mutual love and trust. That's the idea behind.
Mm-hmm. Again, we have just started Lent, which is in Christianity time of penance, and it seems that the Christians are not very bent on doing penance. So traditionally in the Mediterranean areas, and even in certain parts of Northern Europe, because I mean, I would call Venice north of Europe, basically. I mean, it's not Southern Europe, and not the northern part, but anyhow, it's the middle of Europe. There is carnival, that is a 3 days of making, which, and as the word means, carnival means you can eat meat before the abstinence starts during Lent. Do you have any feasts like similar, I mean, to carnival in India?
Yeah, for Keralite Christians, I can talk about Christians now, I'm saying. Just before the Lent begins, the Sunday, we call it Petratha in our language. That is, we will eat all kinds of meat and fish. Then, once the Lent starts, we are very strict. We never buy meat. So we would have eaten enough meat on that day, then we abstain from meat for 40 days in the house. So that's similar to your carnival.
Do the Hindus has anything similar to carnival? That's what I'm asking.
Hindus have also fasting, and they go once a year. Every year they go to temple. That is like a pilgrimage. In Catholic tradition, we have
more like the pilgrimage to Mecca.
Mecca, okay. They go to their own shrines, temples. So they fast for one full month. Mm-hmm. One meal they take. I don't know if they take.
But is it anticipated by some form of revelry, like our carnival?
That before
this month.
But not according to different state. Like Goans, they have very similar to your carnival of West. Ours is little different. It differs.
Been influenced more by
Portuguese.
Portuguese. While, I mean, Spain was. India was more influenced by British, who don't really celebrate. They got their own carnival, which is really not English in itself. I mean, if you speak of the London Carnival, it's more it's Easterners who do it. How is the family structured? Is it still an extended family?
Yes.
Or a nuclear family?
It is extended. And majority.
Can you explain to us how the extended family functions in India?
The eldest son will, even if after the marriage, they will stay with the parents till the younger one will get married. Once the
In
young,
the same house or in the same region?
Same house. They will have partitions. Mm-hmm. But they will be in the same house, living together. We have more social obligations are too much.
And this applies to all classes, independent of their income.
Yes. But there is also the choice. If you want to go, you go. Live alone, go to another region. But normally speaking, they live together. When the younger son gets married, the elder one will move out.
Mm-hmm. And do they stay with the brides in the bride's house or in the bridegroom's house?
Bride's house.
In the bride's house. So the man is, the woman is, remains the most important of these things, because it is attached to the family of the bride.
Again, depend on the state.
On
not
the state.
Every state same.
So, but in Kerala.
Kerala bridegroom.
There is, The bridegroom.
The
so
boys.
You go to the bridegroom.
Boys' house.
So the boys are, in a sense, yes. have more centrality. Let's
yes.
not discuss power
for us boys
and so
are.
On. Do you have local elderly legal system or court system or judging system in India? Once I was going to Australia, and I think I read a newspaper of the Far East when the elders really judged a young man who was holding the hand of a girl from a different caste. And as a punishment, they raped his sister.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not, this was, didn't the constitutional court, so to say, but the court of the elders. Do such courts still exist in Kerala, where they pass sentences, especially regards tradition, not regards to law, to the constitution, what I will call constitutional law, for lack of a better word?
It used to be, but now things are changing.
Are changing.
And it is very difficult to take it by the elders, because they want to still keep up the tradition. And
talking about change, in the West, after the Enlightenment, and after the Industrial Revolution, and after the political revolution of France, we started seeing the growth of secularization. First of all, in legislation, but then even in behavior patterns and the way people react and so on. Now we know that India at present is growing economically. It is becoming a world major player in the world economy. We know that there is huge investment. We know that it is a great exporter of many things, including cars. So definitely money, people are more affluent. Do you think this affluence has been associated with a certain amount of secularization as regards religion?
Certainly.
It has affected, it has. As it did in the West. What about, did it affect all religions, that is Christians, Hindu, and Islam, or is it across the board or not?
It is, to a certain extent, it is affecting everyone, but there is no, it is not based on religion. It's an individual choice. When you have money, you have power.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it. I can say still in India, the religious practice is more from the heart than from the head. It's a heart level experience, even though there is influence.
For all religion.
All religion.
Mm-hmm. Is it considered to be an interior thing? More than an exterior?
I feel like that, I believe.
So, do you think in Kerala, when we are speaking about India, we are speaking about Kerala this time, because you come from Kerala. Do you think that the spiritual element of religion, influences the ethical behavior or not of the people of India?
It does. It does.
And are people, especially the majority of people, upset by these changes, or do they take them with their stride?
They are upset to a certain extent, but because Kerala is 94% educated.
Sorry?
Kerala is not an illiterate state.
Mm-hmm.
It is 94% educated. Because they are educated, they are also able to cope with this conflicts and changes.
Yes.
Yet there is a lot of stress and tension.
We also know, this is a very important cultural element, and I must admit my ignorance, I don't know how did it happen. Perhaps it's a result of the British choosing the elite of India and sending them to Oxford and Cambridge and so on. But we know that India has one of the best category of constitutional lawyers in the world.
Yes.
and the best constitutional sentences have been decided in India. How come people tend to love law so much, in a sense? Because in a sense, academically, India is a prime player in constitutional law. How do you explain this?
According to me, it's because of different religion. You know, every religion has its own laws as well. And also the states. So in order to survive in different, to have unity in diversity, it's automatic that you need to be well-versed.
You need to have a federal constitution which is very strong, which holds people together.
I suppose so.
Is superstition still wide?
Yes, it's very strong.
Is it spiritism? What is it?
I do not know how to say, but it's very strong.
Mm-hmm. It's still very strong. What would be, in a sense, and this is the last question because, I mean, time has passed really for this program. Which is the greatest crime in India? What would you call, what would people in Kerala consider to be the greatest crime? I don't know, murder might be, as in the West, but there might be other crimes which are culturally perhaps more. For example, I think that even if we consider crime in countries like Malta to be, I mean, the greatest crime, rape culturally tend to be, or incest, tend to be a greater crime, even if it's not punished.
It could be rape or stealing, perhaps, because I'm out of
theft
India
also.
Theft
okay.
And rape. Because sexuality is considered to be a taboo even now. So that hidden agenda, not exposed like here. Mm-hmm. So it could be.
Thank you very much, Sister Linian, for giving us all this anthropological information about your. Not about your country, but about your state in the country of India. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father.